Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. So here's kind of how it works. By placing your faith in Jesus Christ today, a person becomes a new believer and is sanctified. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You would agree with that, right? You're set apart now for God's purposes in this old world. And unlike salvation, which takes place in a single moment, sanctification is a lifelong process. We who follow Jesus Christ should be letting the Holy Spirit control our lives 24/7. If that's the case, we are currently then being sanctified right now, regardless of what we may feel or how our actions appear to those around us. In other words, we are progressively maturing in our faith in Jesus. And if we're progressing, then we must be working our way towards something. The Apostle Paul explained the Christian's mission. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. A believer's character, conduct, and conversation should be reflections of Jesus, who lives within. On our own, we might be too emphasizing. On our own, we could place too much emphasis on behavior, right? And get caught up following rules and rituals that look Christian without truly reflecting Jesus Christ. But God's given you, the believer, the Holy Spirit, as a teacher and a guide. The Spirit works to transform our minds and our hearts so that we are markedly different from our unsaved peers. When we allow the Holy Spirit to control us, we speak and we act in accordance to our true identity. We're God's son or daughter today. Our Father wants his children to be living examples of who he is, and he doesn't expect perfection out of you today. He knows you can't be totally sinless in your human body, but he shows us how to think and how to act that we may walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we have been called, Ephesians 4:1. You're set apart for God today. Could I say it? I'm speechless. In fact, I'm so speechless I could talk for 2 or 3 hours on this. Good grief, what was going on with the Godfather, Daddy Joe Biden? That email purportedly sent to the former Vice President's son Hunter from a Burisma executive. One commentator says it sounds an awful lot like a Valentine message for crying out loud. Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving me the opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. What? It's really an honor and a pleasure. Who was writing this? The number two executive at Burisma? You didn't hear a thing about this yesterday. They've shut down. Oh, it's unbelievable. This corrupt family, the Biden mob family, the patriarch, Joe, Sleepy Joe, who doesn't know anything about anything going on here. Everything is going on around him, and he knows it all. All kinds of countries involved, all kinds of businesses involved, millions and millions of dollars coming into the crime family. And Joe doesn't know a thing. Do you really believe that, my friend? Joe Biden wants you to believe that he was somehow sidetracked in Washington, messing around with the swine flu and the economy. He had too much on his plate to be concerned about his son's daily life. Right. He doesn't have the time for his son. He doesn't ask his boy, hey, where'd you get all these millions? What'd you do today? Not a word. Joe Biden is lying to you, my friend. Joe Biden knew everything. He knew he met with the guy, the Burisma executive. And so what does Biden's campaign say? The Biden campaign would not rule out the possibility the former vice president had some kind of informal interaction and some kind of information about all of this. Are you kidding me? And what's the smokescreen? It's Russian disinformation. None of it is true. Did you hear anything on the national news if you watched it yesterday? The debates last night completely ignored things. Stephanopoulos, not one word about Hunter. What a bunch of... This computer shop owner in Delaware would have to sit on his laptop for 3 months and Hunter Biden doesn't pick it up while it's got pictures of Hunter apparently being involved sexually with women and doing drugs, and there are 40,000 emails there, and the Russians are very good, apparently, at fabricating a story. They must know this guy is going to turn it over to the FBI, call Rudy Giuliani's lawyer, and they must know that how it's all going to come out. How stupid is all of this anyway? It is just unbelievable. So what do you think the rest of this story will be? Somehow this thing was wiped clean after it was examined, and then the whole thing was destroyed by accident, and the contents of the hard drive have been misplaced, can't be found, and the only people investigated by the FBI were the shop owner for connections to the Russians somehow and the Trump campaign. Zero time was clocked investigating anyone with a name similar to Biden. But do not worry. There will be an FBI official release at just the right time saying nothing was found on this PC. Therefore, they cannot verify authenticity of the emails or the pictures that Giuliani claims that are downloaded. Then the personal information from the investigation into the shop owner will be leaked, connecting him somehow to Rudy Giuliani, the Russians, the Proud Boys, Ivanka Trump, and eventually the president. And finally, somehow, there's going to be photos found of the president, the shop owner, Harry Weinstein, and, well, you get the idea. And this will be the lead story in the days ahead. Good grief. Where's my gun? Hey, is Savannah Guthrie of NBC running for president of the United States? She acted like it. There wasn't supposed to be a debate last night. Trump was in one place, and over on ABC, George Stephanopoulos was with his buddy Joe Biden and throwing a lot of softball questions. And what was Guthrie up to? The NBC fake news did their best. They really did to ambush the President of the United States at the town hall meeting. Trump debated. Sure he did. Savannah Guthrie. And what we all witnessed was not journalism at all. It was a political debate with the morning host there of the Today Show, now serving as a Joe Biden surrogate. And it didn't work out very well. Questions, topics, tactics, all reeking of nothing but pure political lefty bias. That's what it was. Guthrie was panned by critics for spending much of the allotted time grilling Trump on mask and white supremacy instead of turning the floor over to the voters. That's what it was supposed to be, a town hall meeting. She hogged the first 20-25 minutes there, trying to get her point across. How long will NBC go before giving the actual voter a chance to ask a question? That's what pollster Frank Luntz asked, who later called the town hall descriptor of the program just a lot of false advertising. Fake news, it was. White House Press Secretary Kayla McEnany explained, we're a third of the way into the NBC town hall meeting, and not one question from the people. In the first few minutes, the president was once again asked for, what, the millionth time, to repeat what he said over and over and over again, to condemn white supremacy. These left-leaning loonies need to take a step outside of the city limits there of New York and the liberal elite. They are so out of touch with what's happening in the world today, and they have a, my goodness, a conspiracy agenda that is just scary. You know it's true. We are so divided. I tell you that once again. President Trump has condemned white supremacy over and over and over and over again, Savannah. Get your act together. And you know that's true, too. Yep. Two worlds out there. Which one are you living in? More news right after this. Oh, the age-old question. We're there today. Christians and politics. If there's anything that's going to spark a real debate real fast, or maybe an outright argument, it's a discussion involving politics, even among Christians, you and me. As followers of Jesus Christ, what should our attitude be and our involvement be in politics in America today? Hands off. You're a Christian. You don't need to wade into that sewer. It's been said that religion and politics don't mix. That is not true. You cannot have political views outside of the considerations of your faith. It's impossible. You cannot. The Bible gives you two truths regarding our stance toward politics and the government. The first is that the will of God permeates and supersedes every aspect of your life. It is God's will that takes precedence over everything and everyone, according to Matthew 6:33. God's plans and purposes are fixed, and his will is inviolable. What he has purposed, he will bring to pass, and no government's going to thwart this. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. In fact, it is God who sets up kings and disposes them, including presidents, Daniel 2:21, because the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes, Daniel 4:17. A clear understanding of this truth of the Word of God will help us to see that politics is merely a method that God uses to accomplish his will. Isn't that something? Even though evil men abuse their political power, meaning it for evil, God means it for good, working all things together for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Great verse, Romans 8:28. And, hey, we've got to grasp the fact that our government cannot save us. Sorry, only God can. You can never read in the New Testament of Jesus or any of the apostles expending any time or energy schooling believers on how to reform the pagan world or any of its idolatrous, immoral, and corrupt practices via the government. And my goodness, we are loaded today. The apostles never called for believers to demonstrate civil disobedience and protest the Roman Empire's unjust laws or brutal schemes. Instead, the apostles commanded the first century Christians, as well as everyone today, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and live lives that give clear evidence of the gospel's transforming power. And you, my friend, no doubt about it, you have a responsibility to the government to obey the laws and to be a good citizen, Romans 13:1-2. God's established all authority, and he does it for your benefit, to commend those who do right, 1 Peter 2:13-15. And Paul tells us in Romans 13:1-8 that it's the government's responsibility to rule in authority over us, hopefully for our good, collect those taxes, keep the peace, that stuff. Where we have a voice and can elect our leaders, you ought to exercise that right by voting for those who best demonstrate Christian principles. Just a thought. Back to the confused world today. Looking over a list here of Amy Coney Barrett's sorority ties, there are a bunch of them, including Kappa Delta Sorority. You might expect the sorority last month noted her nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court with a tweet characterizing it as congratulatory. But they just went too far. Really insane congratulations. While we do not take a stand on political appointments, we recognize Judge Barrett's significant accomplishment. We acknowledge our members have a variety of views and a right to their own beliefs. Well, that's pretty down middle of the road. Oh, no, it's not. Apparently, that was bad to say something nice about Amy Coney Barrett. Yep. The tweet they put out recognizing her nomination, they apologize for it being, well, hurtful to many. Thank you for holding us accountable, said Kappa Delta. We didn't mean to offend. Oh, jeez. What a bunch of morons. I'm telling you, it's one of those days. I could talk for hours on this stuff. Hey, what's going on here? Pfizer Incorporated said it could be ready to apply for emergency use authorization of its plandemic vaccine by November, assuming it receives positive efficacy and safety data from late-stage human trials. The first time it or any other leading Western vaccine developer provided such a specific time, November, eh? Here you go. And once again, even the liberals are talking about it. Facebook. Jeez, I like to have you as my friend, but Zuckerberg is doing scarier things every day. Twitter. They made that big decision to restrict users from sharing a series of bombshell New York Post reports exploring Hunter Biden's overseas business dealings. Really smacks of Big Brother. The liberals are saying that. One being Chris Wallace. I got a real problem with that, he said. I think you're either in or you're out, Wallace said. And when I say that, it's either the Wild West and you post everything, and I can understand the concern about that, after what happened in 2016 with all of that Russian disinformation, or you put everything out there and you have a problem with some of it. Then put a word on there to your users to say, we can't confirm this story, or there's some question about this story, but to restrict it totally and say nothing? Yeah, there's a big problem with that, my friend. But it's the new America, the new world, and the left runs the whole show. So how is your world different this fall than it was 1 year ago? Well, it's a 100% turnaround in so many areas, right? You don't do anything like you did a year ago. Hey, let's go to New York City and open a high-end store. You can do that for a song now. 17%. Commercial rents way too high in New York, and it is crippling New York City, and, well, it's crippling the nation. What to do? Why don't they lower those rents? Landlords feel they can be patient and hold out when the demand returns. I wonder when that's going to be. Other landlords simply can't lower rents based on agreements with lenders they have. Lower rents can lead to depressed property values, and nobody wants that. Let's keep those rents real high and the buildings empty. Does that make sense? A National Student Clearinghouse report surveyed institutions representing 9 million students just to come to the same conclusion everyone arrived at a long time ago. Fewer high school grads enrolled in college this year. Duh. The Clearinghouse report found that overall undergraduate population shrank by 4%, with over two-thirds of the decline coming from first-time college students. Ain't gonna do it. Not gonna go to college. The biggest drop-off comes from community college enrollment. Sports viewership. I put out a new sportsmediawatch.com. Put out a new trend today showing that the Stanley Cup Finals down 61%, U.S. Open Golf down 56%, the NBA Finals down 50%. You get the idea here? Nobody watching sports. What in the world is going on? So if Joe and Kamala win, we're all going to be high, right? While every industry is preparing for any and all outcomes in the upcoming November 3rd election, the marijuana companies are banking on Biden. Senator Kamala Harris, Biden's vice presidential pick, said during last week's debate that the Biden administration would push for decriminalization at the federal level if they win in November. Pull out those weeds. No, not those, the other ones. And who said that? Because it does make sense. If methadone is free to addicts because they have a disease, why is chemo not free for cancer patients? I don't want my children to grow up in a jungle, a racial jungle. It was 1977. Joe Biden said integrating black students would turn schools into a racial jungle. Uh-huh. And this has kind of been the tone today, so make sure you get this straight here. If a liberal expresses their opinions, it's free speech. If a conservative does that, it's hate and intolerance. Yeah. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this. Just joined us? You're late. Thank you for being here. Hello, world. News, information, heavy opinion and comment every day at this time. From a conservative Christian voice out of the Midwest, I'm Dr. Greg Patton. 32 years pastor of the Cross Church in Fort Wayne. God has been blessing. The crowds are growing. Great things are happening. Did I tell you we're going back on the air with a program called God a Minute? Or basically, it's going to be The Question. You might want to pray about that as we continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ around the Fort Wayne, Indiana area. And a big thank you to this station for carrying the broadcast. A big thanks to you for being a part. We value your time, and we're grateful you would give us these few minutes every day, Monday through Friday. God bless you. Can I ask you today, what gets you emotional? Our emotions exert a great influence on our lives. You hear about people being ruled by their emotions, caught up in their emotions, lost in their emotions. Sometimes our emotional drives can be healthy. A new husband's loving desire to care for and protect his wife. I've watched that with my new son-in-law, Jared, and my daughter, Rachel. I mean, he's really overboard. Who am I to say? Other times, our emotions take a negative turn. They work against our lives of faith and usefulness in God's kingdom. When we talk about our emotions, we've got to realize that we have a choice here now. Either our emotions are going to control us, or we control them. When we allow ourselves to be governed by our emotions, the results are going to be painful and often devastating. Negative emotions place us in bondage. That bondage to anger, fear, resentment, hostility. Well, lust. Oh, jealousy, yeah. Uncertainty. Oh, that unforgiveness. That's a terrible demonic bondage oftentimes. There's just a few of them we could name. The heartbreaking fact is most people never are even aware that they have been enslaved by these feelings. And the truth is, if emotions were visible, you would see people walking around with a tremendous amount of baggage strapped on their backs there. They could hardly walk. This baggage weighs heavily on their hearts, leaving them frustrated. Steals your joy, your peace, your contentment, absolutely. And not realizing the damage that's being done, many people continue to go about their daily lives like this is normal, with this emotional baggage firmly attached to their backs. And over time, these destructive feelings can become rooted in their personalities. If, for example, you lovingly stepped in and tried to relieve some of their load, they may feel as though a part of themselves are actually being, well, missing. You've cut off a part of their lives. If they lived with unforgiveness, anger, bitterness for a long, long time, they may simply not know how to live without that thing. Isn't that something? Therefore, they continue on with their lives in bondage. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, it shall set you free." Our message, Invisible War on the Saints, has been such a blessing to people. It's relieved that bondage as they've followed the Word of God. Obviously, this is not the life that God wants for you. I mean, to have all that baggage. He created you to exist in joy and contentment, even in the midst of all the adversities and the trials and the confusion in the world we talk about every day on Hello World here. Bondage of any kind is, well, contrary to His perfect will for your life. John 8:36 says, "If the Son makes you free, you're going to be free indeed." Is that you? Are you free indeed? Likewise, the apostle instructs, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free." Therefore, you need to keep standing firm and don't be subject again to the yoke of slavery. That's what sin does, makes you a slave, Galatians 5:1. Our emotions, well, they're a beautiful gift from God. But listen, my friend, because we live in a sinful world, a fallen world, that gift can oftentimes be misused and abused as you interact with other people. It's our prayer here today at Hello World and Greg Patton Ministries that you begin to see the beauty of your God-given emotions as you learn to set down that unhealthy baggage of negative feelings and get back into the real race of life. You and I need to do that today. The devil wants to keep you in bondage, and it really is a big, big burden, the emotional baggage. You shall know the truth. It shall set you free. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, I want you to lead me in the way everlasting this Friday. And finally, here's one way to do it. Dear John, I've been unable to sleep since I broke off our engagement. Will you please forgive me and forget about it? Your absence is just breaking my heart. I was just a big fool. Nobody can take your place. I love you so much. Sign any name you want there. I don't want to insult any woman. Anyway, it says, P.S., congratulations on winning the big lottery this week. I love you so much. I wonder how true that story is. That's it. I've had my say for a Friday. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? All kinds of things happening. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad God's in control? Join me on Facebook while you still can. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Keep on praying for this nation, for your church, and with all of those things so vitally important. Going to be gone over the weekend here. Look forward to getting back on Monday. Until then, God bless you. Have yourself one fantastic Friday.